This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. We've had her on some of our Raised Rowdy events, and you've probably seen her on your TV, and you've definitely heard her music. We got our girl, Jordan Mallory, with us. Jordan, how you doing?
Hey, y'all. I'm doing really good. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. I'm glad it all worked out.
I know. Thank you guys so much. I mean, I feel like I wasn't really that nervous. And then yesterday I was like, I've got to go like do a little research, see what's up. I'm like, whoa, I'm definitely not cool enough to be here.
So no, you definitely
thank you for
are.
Having me.
Of course. Absolutely.
This and is awesome.
Yeah. And you're somebody that I've crossed paths with you like a bunch over the years, like going back to way back to when I remember first moving to town, like 2018, 2019. You've been doing music for a long time. You started at a young age, Okolona, Mississippi. I love
That's
the
right.
state of Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
I do. And I'm from New York, so not a lot of New Yorkers, not a lot of us damn Yankees get down to Mississippi. Where is Okolona in Mississippi?
So Okolona is a tiny little town. I mean, I love my hometown so much just because it's so wonderful for me to go home coming from here because there's just not much there. We have a Sonic.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. I mean, it's like Sonic every Sunday. You want an Oreo McFlurry, or not McFlurry, that's McDonald's.
The blast.
You want an Oreo blast. It's right there. But yeah, it's just a cute little southern town, not too far from Tupelo.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it so much.
And then are you Hail State or are you Hottie Toddy? Because I know that's the big thing. You guys don't have pro teams.
It's a big debate. A big debate. My mom went to Mississippi State, but I love spending time in Oxford. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And I went to a school in Pontotoc. So it's kind of like in between Okolona and Oxford. Everything there is so spread out.
Yeah.
It's very different from here. So I don't know. I find myself going to Oxford more than Starkville. But I'm like, look, I just love getting dressed up and going to the games and hanging out. I'm there for the food.
Yeah, and I've heard, so I have more familiarity with Stark Vegas than I do Oxford. I've been through, done some shows in Oxford, but like Rick's Cafe in Starkville.
Such a good time.
Special place in my heart, but from what I've heard about Oxford is that the tailgating, it's a different thing because it's that Southern antebellum era.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Chick-fil-A, a lot of like decorating the tents. It's another level.
Yeah, what, like the tents, they hang up like chandeliers and stuff, right?
Yes, they do. They go all out. It's like Southern living in a tent. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen, and I love it.
How often are you able to get back there for games and stuff? You usually get back there for one or two a
year? Yeah, I try to go once or twice a year just because it's so fun, and I was just home and went to Double Decker, and it was so great.
What's Double Decker?
It's like a big festival weekend in Oxford, and Grace Potter was playing.
Ooh, that's cool.
So I'm like, any chance to see Grace Potter, I'm so there.
That's awesome.
So yeah, in April, I went home for a week and a half, and I was just chilling.
That's awesome.
Doing a whole lot of nothing out in the country. So yeah, I'm lucky that it's only like 3.5 or 4 hours from here.
Yeah, the folks that come up north from those deep southern states, it's like 14 hours for me to get home to New York. So like 3.5 hours isn't too bad.
It's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. It's so nice. If I need to just hop in the car and go home, I go. Yeah.
So you start doing music, you start singing at 5, you take time out in your teenage years from school to really pursue this music thing. When did you start coming up here to Nashville, and just what was it like growing up knowing that you wanted to be singing into a microphone?
I think that it really made me be a really good kid, because if I did something wrong or messed up, my parents were like, you're not going to Nashville. And so that was my incentive to be a good kid. So I was like a really good girl growing up because I wanted to be coming here and, you know, just getting so immersed in the Nashville thing.
Yeah.
But my grandma's a singer and sings in church, and I kind of just picked it up from her going to grandma's house. That's what we did together. It was like our thing. And started doing, you know, gospel music, and then it kind of led into fairs and festivals around there, nursing homes. Anyone who would watch me sing, I would sing for them. And then I heard the first Faith Hill record, And well, I think it was a cassette.
Actually. Wow. Yeah. Old school.
Old school. And I was like, whoa, I love her. I want to do that. And yeah, we came here for the first time on my family vacation when I was 9 years old. And you know what's hilarious is where the Opry is, like Opry Mills, the Gaylord. We thought that that was Nashville. It was not until the last day that someone was like, did you guys go to Tootsie's? And we're like, what's Tootsie's? So we go downtown and we're like, oh, there's so much more to this place. And yeah, just throughout the year, started kind of getting involved in the songwriting community and would come here as much as my parents would bring me.
Yeah. So when did you make the official move to kind of get your wings and come out here to Tennessee?
So throughout high school, we would come up here and I would write. I was getting involved in the songwriting community. And it was always my goal to just like get here. So I graduated high school a year early. I basically combined my junior and senior year of high school. And I mean, it was my life was school. And I was like, I'm getting to Nashville. And, you know, then I graduated and my birthday's in April. So I had just turned 17 when I graduated. And I'm so fortunate. We had a family friend who had like a garage apartment here. And so I would be like, yeah, I moved to Nashville. But I would just come up here like 1 or 2 days a week and stay in their garage apartment. And then I would go home and get my time in with my family. I'm so close with my family. So I like to say that I gradually moved here. It wasn't until a few years later I got an apartment with a girl who actually is from Starkville.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, she works. Her name's Caroline Melby. You might know her.
That name sounds familiar.
She works
familiar.
At Belmont.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we got an apartment together. And that was like my official move.
And what year would that have been?
I think I was around 20, so it was like 12 or 13 years ago.
Okay, wow. So Nashville was very different.
Nashville was so different. When did you move here?
I got here October of 2018.
Okay, so gotcha. But you're still COVID. OG.
Yeah, like there's the post-COVID and the pre-2020, I think like right around the pandemics when it really started booming. But the boom was underway in like 13, 14, like right as I was getting here, because that was when the artist bars started coming in. Like you were pre-FGL House.
I was.
Like pre-Whiskey Row.
I was pre the Gulch.
Yeah, when the Gulch was a spot you didn't want to go to.
Right. I know. But I feel so lucky to have come up during that time of when like Whiskey Jam was just all your friends, like everyone knew everybody. It was a lot smaller community then, and we would do Whiskey Jam on Monday, Tin Roof on Tuesday.
Yeah, Revival.
Tin Roof on Wednesday, Tin Roof on Thursday.
Yeah, and that was when they were filming the show Nashville, right?
Yes, it was. And I worked a lot on that show. I don't think that many people realize that about me, but I worked on that show a lot. It helped pay my bills in that in-between time of like, whoa, I really have got to figure out a way to stay here.
Yeah, what would that look? What does that kind of look like? Is that like extra work? Is that just kind of being on set?
Yeah, it started as extra work. Me and some friends were like, "Yeah, let's go be extras on this show." You know, young and just like whatever, cool. Yeah. Y'all are doing that. I'm coming too. And then I can't remember how I got involved in that, but I'm the same height and kind of same size as Hayden Panettiere. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, I think so.
So someone was like, you should be her stand-in because you're blonde, same height, same size clothing. And so a stand-in is basically like someone who like stands in the lighting for them to get the lights right while the artist is in hair and makeup. And they're getting to sit down and get pampered. And, you know, because it takes like an hour or two and you're just standing there. It's kind of awkward. But yeah, I did that for a really long time. I did that for her. I haven't done it in years, but did it for Carrie Underwood and Dolly.
And Dolly.
I have done a lot of work for Miss Dolly. And let me tell you, she's a real life angel.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about her.
She's so kind. Like I'm no one, you know what I mean? And she's treating me like I'm the most important person in the world.
Yeah.
Truly. And one day, this is a crazy story. One day when we were done, so I have to, like, I've worn Dolly's wig. I've played Dolly's banjo. I've worn Dolly's clothes. But most of the time you give them back. Well, on this one particular day, I had on these like blue jean boots. And I guess Dolly didn't really like these boots. Or maybe she had worn them and she was like, whatever, I'm never wearing those again. So I go to give the boots back and she goes, oh, honey, just keep them. I was like, what? So, yeah, I have a pair of Dolly's boots.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're in like a shadow box.
So that was kind of your entry into like TV and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, kind of. I did like music videos too.
Anything notable or like?
I guess like the biggest one that I did was Jason Aldean's Dirt Road Anthem.
Oh, what were you doing in that?
I was around a bonfire. I was hanging around the bonfire and I just remember I had just gotten back from 30A the day before and I was so sunburnt. I mean, I was so sunburnt. But luckily, the video is black and white. So you couldn't tell.
That's awesome.
I know. Cool. Yeah. I feel like I have so many stories like that that are just like just crazy. But Nashville was so small back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when I first came here, that was really a way that I paid my bills and was able to stay here. Of course, now life is so much more expensive to be here in town. But yeah, I more than anything, I always tell people it's like your friend group and who you come up with. And
it's your class.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's your class. And two, I speaking of Starkville, when I first moved here, when I was coming here, I was so young that I wasn't able to go to a lot of shows, but I was at a bar. Oh my gosh. What is the name of the bar? It's in Starkville. It's not Rick's. I've played at Rick's before. Cowbells.
Cowbells.
I was at Cowbells. I'm in the restroom. I look down. There's an ID on the floor. I was like, there's an ID. And she kind of looks like me. So Ashley from Alabama, thank you. Thank you so much. For a few years, I used her ID. I wasn't like drinking or anything like that. I just needed to get in.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear the songs from the original songwriters. And that's how I found my crew.
Yeah. Who was that crew early on? Because that's a fun time to be coming up because the guys and girls that were moving here around that time shapes what we have now, honestly.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. One of my first original friends, I was at Tin Roof by myself because I would make myself. I'm way more extroverted now than I was back then. I was very like quiet and like, you know.
Yeah, small town.
Right.
There's more people in the bar than there are in some of the towns in Mississippi.
100%. 100%. So I'm at Tin Roof one night just watching the songwriters around. This girl comes up to me and she's like, are you Jordan? I was like, yeah. She goes, we're friends on MySpace.
Oh, this is way, wow. This is way back.
Oh, yeah. Way back in the day. I was probably 17 at that time. And her name's Christina Kidd. She actually doesn't live here anymore. But she was one of my first friends here in town. It was just from making myself go to these shows by myself and getting out of my comfort zone and really just like going to the shows and talking to people.
That's awesome.
It was really hard. It's not hard for me now, but at the time it was so hard.
Yeah, that's what I tell kids. Ask all the time, like, what do I do when I get here? And I'm like, just go to all the events, whether it's ours or going out with Ward downtown or go to Why Not Wednesday, or go to Grindhouse or go to these different
things. Do the things.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it was a fun time to be coming up for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how has life kind of changed for you over the past few months of Farmer Wants a Wife and all of that stuff?
It's been wild. It's been really, really wild. I have 100% never had so many people interested in my dating life. But I love it. I love it. It's like, it's exciting. It's fun. It's been really the biggest blessing for me. Like, I look back on that time and I'm so thankful for the experience. And then, you know, people get so invested.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. you know.
Yeah. How did they find you? Like, is that something you apply for? Like, what's the, how does reality TV work in that regard? Like,
kind of crazy, long story short. It is my little cousin's favorite TV show.
Oh, wow.
Her name's Lucy Kate, and she's 11 years old, and she begged me to apply. And I'm like, Lucy Kate, they don't let musicians on these shows. Like, that's so sweet. But I don't really watch a lot of TV. I'm more of like, I read books. But I watched an episode with her around the same time a casting agent from a game show reached out to me.
Well, game show?
Yeah, it was like some game show that filmed in Ireland or something. I was like, I'm not really interested, but thank you so much.
Yeah.
And she was like, I really feel like you would be perfect for this show called Farmer Wants a Wife, and I really think you should apply for it. And so I kind of just felt like I was hearing so much about Farmer Wants a Wife, and I just happened to go through like a really, really bad breakup last year. And so things that had ended, it was like a back and forth thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm like so down in the dumps. I was just sad one night and I just applied and I heard from them the next day. And then, you know, these casting things are crazy. Like, you will go months without hearing from them and you just think, okay, well, that was just something I did one night when I was sad. And then 2 weeks before they were like, you're in. But yeah.
And then where do they send you? Like,
Well, they send you to have.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't watched the show.
Yeah, so it's not. It's like it's very for the girls.
Yes. Yeah. It's like in the Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Yeah, girls world. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they send you to get STD tested. You have to do a psych evaluation. They send you this whole long list of all the clothing that you need for the show, and that all had to happen within like 2 weeks.
That's not a lot of time to do a lot of stuff.
No, I was stressing because I was playing at that Hilton Head Island Jam.
Yeah, because you're trying to balance. It's a little different for you. Granted, a lot of folks have like their 9-to-5 and have their lives, but you're doing this artist thing.
Right. Yeah. Whoa, so during that 2 weeks, I had to go to Hilton Head for that, and then I had to go back to Mississippi. Luckily, my aunt helped me so much with shopping and getting like outfits together, because you have to have a game plan. Like, you can't just, because you're there for a little over a month, that's a lot of clothing, and I feel like I still didn't have enough. Like, I really timed it out just right down to the last day.
Where do they film it?
So you start in Alabama. So I knew that I was going somewhere. I just didn't know where. And they send you your flight information the night before you leave. And so I had to, what's hilarious is I left my apartment at like 6 or 7 in the morning to go to the airport, flew to Atlanta. I think that I got to Atlanta around lunch or so. Then we're waiting on the other girls to get in. And then they put you in this van and you start driving. And I'm like, at that point, I still had my phone so I could see the direction we're driving. I'm like, we're headed towards Alabama. Like, what in the world? And some of the past seasons had filmed in Gadsden. So I was like, are we going to Gadsden? So we finally get to Gadsden.
Of all places.
At like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You could have just driven there.
The drive is like 2.5 hours. Yeah. But I guess, you know, they don't want you having your car.
Yeah.
And having to keep up with your car. So, yeah, it starts in Gadsden. And then my farmer, he lives in California on like the Central Coast near SLO. It's called Morro Bay.
Okay.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous place to live.
Yeah.
So yeah, we ended up, there's like different mixers, and so we actually came to Murfreesboro.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. Murfreesboro one weekend. We went to the middle of nowhere, Texas on a camping trip, and yeah, it was a great time.
That's awesome. Yeah. What was the guy like? Because again, I have no familiarity with the show.
The guy?
The guy, yeah. Who was your farmer?
Yeah, so basically, Matt is an avocado farmer, and they have these things called finger limes, and it looks like a little banana, and you pop it in half, and it's like a lime, but it's like little, it looks like caviar.
Oh, wow.
And some of them are kind of sweet, some are more sour, but they're so good, and it's almost finger lime season, so I'm going to be like ordering some because they're delicious. But yeah, they grow wild in Australia.
What was he like? Like,
I think that he was very reserved on camera, very shy. And obviously, it's like such a weird situation. Like, yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, these guys, they're literal farmers.
Like, yeah, so you don't really know like what you're gonna be like. And two, I think that I just had this vision in my head of like a camera or two. And there were like eight. So there's a whole crowd of people watching you date.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
It was a lot, yeah. Yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very hard to like let your guard down and let those walls down and date someone. And you're like thinking of, your brain is in overdrive while you're on the date. So yeah. I'm like, oh gosh, did I say anything dumb? I hope not.
Yeah. And then how are you balancing your music? Cause you just had a new single come out, which I'm sure the process for getting that out cuts into the time that you're out there doing that show.
So the show was filmed in October.
Oh, it was back in the fall. Okay.
Yes. So the show has been filmed. And like shows like The Bachelor film for, I think, 10 weeks. This just films for 4.
Oh, that's not bad.
So it's super quick. And yeah, I feel like there's just so much that wasn't on TV. But just incredible, an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Just wild. And the girls are amazing.
Yeah, have you kept in touch with anybody?
Absolutely. Yeah, we all talk every day. I'm always like chatting with someone. You know, the show is over now, but I think that those friendships will last forever because they're just, the girls are really so great.
Yeah. Are you like now their Nashville tour guide? Because every girl comes to Nashville.
Yes.
That's like part of what like, girls do now.
Come on to Nashville. Come visit. And they were just here for the premiere of the show in March. We had a bunch of the girls here and we all hung out. It was a great time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. So talking about the music, the song I Thought I'd Never Write. Long title, but to the point. Like
long title.
Yes, yes.
But to the point.
Tell me about the story behind that.
Yeah. So I wrote this song with a guy in the Netherlands, Marcel Visser, and Rob Crosby. Do you know Rob?
I don't.
He's written so many amazing songs. He wrote Concrete Angel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Insane. Just an insane writer.
Yeah.
But yeah, Marcel was visiting and kind of in a roundabout, long story short sort of way. Rob introduced me to a guy in the Netherlands, and this guy's name is Leon. He puts together these like country tours every fall. And so I've been doing that for years now. And I go over to the Netherlands, spend a month there, and we go and play country music for people and they love it.
That's awesome.
They are dialed in. Like no one has their phone out. They are listening.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty refreshing compared to the culture over here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's a fun thing for me to do. And I think that it's helped me grow so much as a performer too, because you want to connect with people, right? But connecting with people who they speak Dutch, but they also speak English. But of course, Dutch is their main language. So performing and connecting with people who English is their second language, it just is another level. So I feel really thankful for getting to do that because it's made me a better performer. But through that connection.
Yeah.
And what is crazy is I was supposed to go over there last October.
Oh, so you had to choose.
I had to choose. And I had to pray on this so much because I'd made a commitment and I was like, what do I do? But I'm at the time I was 32. I am like, my number one thing is I want to be a mom. Like, okay. I really, really want to be a mom. And so I'm like, okay, I can go do this, or I can ask forgiveness and promise I'll come back next year, and I can go try to find the love of my life. Because I'm just crazy enough. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, you can find love on TV. Like, yes. You know, and it has worked for people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It works. So I totally believe in that. And I called him. I was like, I can't come. And it was the worst call to have to make. But I just knew in my heart that, like, I really needed to go and do the show. So I found someone else to go in my place, and everything all worked out, you know, everything was totally fine, but it was one of those like tough decisions. Do I choose like going for love or like sticking to my commitment and my career? But, at the end of the day, I was like, I have to go do this. Like, what if?
Yeah.
And also, I just been through such a horrible breakup at the beginning of that year. I was like, oh my gosh. I want to find a husband.
Yeah. I mean, the dating scene in Nashville, people talk about that. Like, it's a tough.
It's really tough.
It's an interesting world. Like, there's such a dynamic between we get tons of tourists that come in here every weekend. They're coming on a Wednesday. They leave on a Sunday. And then we're having our LA Sunset Strip moment right now. Like, Nashville is the cool spot to be. So you get folks that are in entertainment or in social media or in this.
Right.
But there's also all the medical people and the business people and the this and the that.
Yeah.
And the bar culture is so big, and there's a lot.
It is. And for me, like, I feel like I'm looking for not that.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not like, where do you
find that?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been quite a journey. I feel like I've been so close, and it's just hard here. It really is hard in a city, especially for someone like me and the lifestyle that I want to live. I live in Nashville now, but I really want to live in the country somewhere, kind of like where I grew up.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, we were talking about the song.
Yes, the song. Yeah, we got off.
Okay, let's get back on.
We got moving around there.
So, we did.
So yeah. So how does that song come to be?
Marcel, the guy I wrote it with, his son Mickey is my drummer when I do these shows in the Netherlands.
Okay.
So Marcel comes to Nashville. He's with an amazing publishing company that has offices there and here, and we're like, okay, we're gonna get together, write this song. We wrote it. And then a few months later, I get like a fully produced demo in my email. I'm like, oh, heck yeah. This is awesome. Like, I didn't know that he was working on that. And did the vocals for it. And then when I landed a spot on the show, they had asked me if I would be willing to sing on the show. I'm like, well, it's a huge part of my life. So it would feel not genuine to not, you know what I mean? And I feel so, so fortunate that my producers, Rob and Jaya, they live in Atlanta, and Rob is a huge country music fan. So we kind of connected that way. He's like, you have to sing. And so, he called me the night before I left, and he was like, can you bring your guitar with you? I was like, yeah, of course, you know, because I wasn't really expecting that, and it's a controversial topic of, you know, having a musician on a dating show.
Why is that a controversial topic?
I think it's just like people want to make sure you're there for the right reasons. But in my heart, I'm like, I know that I was, and my number one priority is finding someone to share my life with, and I really want a family. So I just, you know, I went for it, and I think that people see it as like, okay, well, she's using this as an opportunity, but, you know, I have the text where they ask me to bring it. So I promise it was not me.
No. And honestly, I mean, there's so much of that. Like, I mean, it wouldn't be a true search of a farmer wanting a wife without finding somebody that sings country music.
Yeah,
like,
it's so it goes on, hand in hand. And really also, does. He loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it. So I sang on the first speed date. You get like 10 minutes together. There's four farmers. Each farmer gets eight girls. And you go in, you have 10 minutes to like knock this out of the park. And so I sang on that one, and then it was on TV. And then the song I Thought I'd Never Write was also on there, too, right there at the end. So, yeah, I guess country singers can be on the farm show.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. So what about that song made you want to put it out? Like, why was that the choice for the next single?
I mean, it just kind of made sense in the moment, and with it being on the show, I knew that there were going to be people who were like, we want to hear this song, put it out, you know. So I just went ahead and did it. The demo was done, and so just put it out for the world. Yeah.
And now, how long have you been putting music out? Because you did the duo thing for a minute, right?
Yes. Yeah, and we still play shows together, and you know, it's like I put out solo music years ago, and I didn't feel like that matched this aesthetic. It's just been so long ago.
Yeah,
probably 10 years ago. So took all that down, and kind of just another one of those crazy Nashville stories. I was playing in the airport last year, and this publisher, Jonathan Mason, he's a publisher for the Curb Christian label, and he saw me in the airport. He messaged me on Instagram. He's like, I just saw you at the airport. You're really good. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, would you want to write with some of my writers? I was like, yeah. What are you talking about? Absolutely. So he set me up to write with Tiffany Goss and Michael Farron, which I've been friends with Tiffany for years, and I love her so much. And we wrote the first song, Hearts and Horses, together. And then, you know, at the time, I had just gone through like this horrible, horrible breakup with this like urban cowboy-esque type of guy.
Urban cowboy. See, I know I'm from the city, but I don't try to be anything that.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Describe what is an urban cowboy? Because I know there's a bar called Urban Cowboy in town that people like going to that's in East.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's nice.
Yeah. And it's like a nice higher end kind of bar type of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is an urban cowboy?
I think for me, urban cowboy is like, he definitely dressed the part, good looking cowboy type of guy.
Yeah.
But he was not like, that was not his main thing. He just loved to ride horses and like trail ride.
Okay.
So to me, that's an urban cowboy, I guess. Like a modern.
Yeah.
Cowboy, maybe that's a better word for it, but yeah. So I've had a lot of inspiration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that, because it seems like the heartbreak stuff is what you've kind of shifted towards, but it's the heartbreak shifting towards hope and joy. Like,
right.
You do a good job of, you're in the darkness, and then the song takes you to the light.
Right.
Like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I think when you can capture those moments, it's really special. And I'm trying to write more and write really good songs. And so, because I want to keep releasing music, and we'll just kind of see where that goes and where that leads me. There's some fun things in the works. I just feel so blessed. So I'm so thankful.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And you talk about how this track is kind of this, how the new track, song I Thought I'd Never Write, how that's leading you into a new chapter.
Right.
Talk about, what does this new chapter look like?
Yeah, well, you know, Farmer Wants a Wife just finished airing, and from that, I really want to write great songs and release great songs. I feel like the new chapter is just kind of a continuation of where I've been and what I've been doing, just more of it. Because I had kind of gotten to a point to where I wasn't like super hard chasing an artist career. I think that that's one thing that's really misunderstood about musicians and misunderstood about me is people automatically assume that you just want to be like the biggest star on the planet and that you want to be like a Miranda Lambert, Carrie Underwood. And like, yes, that's wonderful. But for me, before this show, I was making a living playing music. Like, I really tapped into the private event space and the corporate.
There's a lot. That's a great way to earn a living.
It's a great way to earn a living. And I was so happy with the doing that. And, you know, I'm not like famous by any means, but I felt so blessed to get to do what I love and make my money that way. And then play at the airport sometimes in between. And just, I want to continue doing all of that on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's a lot of more eyes on me now and, you know, a lot of girls who love to go to the country concerts and they're going through breakups just like me. And so I want to write songs for those girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's, of course, there's the other side, the brand side of it too, where they're like, where do you get your outfits? Can we get the link? So, you know, I want to write songs for those girls. They're like,
yeah,
I want to wear this outfit to my favorite country concert or on a date with this guy and whatnot, or to this rodeo. Like, I want to write the song they're going to listen to on the way.
Yeah. You want to be what Faith Hill was for you when you popped that cassette tape in.
Yes.
And you were like, I want to do this. Yeah. You know, you want to do that. And
right.
The biggest thing I think is, like you said, a lot of people, the goal is to be able to do music full time.
Yes.
And by doing the private gigs and playing at the airport and doing all of that, you're doing it full time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's just on a lower level that I think that people don't realize, like, I was so happy doing that.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
When was the last time you worked a job that wasn't, like, music or entertainment related?
It's been a long time.
Right? Isn't that a blessing?
It's been a long time. It's such a blessing. I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
I feel truly so grateful that, like, no matter what scale it's on, yeah, I'm getting to do what I love.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like, when was the last time? What was the last job before?
Oh,
did you work jobs when you first moved here?
Yeah, I've kind of done it all. I mean, I had a publishing deal after I first moved here. So that was my job. But like, I've done the downtown thing. I've bartended. I've served. And nobody knew.
Where were you bartending at?
Tootsie's.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was making some good money, too. Let me tell you.
Bartenders make a lot of money.
A lot of money. Yeah, and then I spent a little time at Kid Rock's too, and it's just crazy, crazy down there. But I really wanted veneers. Let me just go ahead and say about my teeth too while I'm at it.
Yeah.
I was born with 16 extra teeth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like up in my nasal cavity. So I had like major surgeries when I was little to try and get the first set of teeth looked like rocks. My parents still have them. The second set looked okay, but I just never could get them to look how I wanted them to look. You know what I mean? Like, I did all the whitening things. This is so off topic. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Smile at the camera so we can see. How long have we had those?
A few years now. I went to work at Kid Rock's because I was like, I can't take this out of my savings. Like, this can't come out of my normal money. Like, if I want to spend this much money on some teeth, then you got to work for it. And so I went to work at Kid Rock's. I was like, it'll take me a few months. I paid for these teeth in 1 month.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had them done at the practice in Cool Springs. Amazing experience. Shout out.
Shout out.
But yeah, I think that a lot of people don't realize that about me is that like my teeth were okay, but I went through a lot to get to an okay point with my teeth.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, because Kid Rock's and I work in a loud bar at the Duck Blind right now. It gets very loud in there.
Yeah.
Kid Rock's, it's like 110 decibels all the time. It's loud in there.
Yeah.
How do you hear the drink orders
so
when you're working
you
the bar there? You read lips.
You read lips. And I've had these special earplugs made that like filter out all the bad noise. I should find those.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I worked there, I would wear those. But yeah, I think that the goal is just to not have to get a normal job. Yeah. I also, like, during COVID, I got my real estate license. Okay. I was like, oh my gosh, what if live music never comes back? I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
Freaking out. So I got my real estate license, did that for a little while. So I've just done whatever I could do to stay here and keep it going. And, you know, there's like some fun things that are happening that I'm not going to have to go get a normal job after this. And I'm just like, praise the Lord.
Yeah. What has social media been like for you? Because you shouted out, you're like, our generation is like kind of the first group that ever got introduced to like the MySpaces and the Facebooks and all of that. And now the reach that it has, and I'm sure the benefits of, like, back in the day, folks that were on Survivor, you didn't find them on MySpace and stuff.
Right.
Now
it's a different ballgame.
People are finding you on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You're probably getting some great messages. You're probably getting some messages that you wish you never opened.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, but that's to be expected.
But how has that been for you, like, since the show, or just even like the past few years, like utilizing social media as a tool to connect with fans?
I think it's like the world is your oyster. Like, but for me, my social media was okay, but it wasn't like popping by any means. And I do think that like people that have watched the show have gone and followed me. And I love that. I love staying in touch with that, reading the comments. Like, it's a lot of fun for me. And also, it's not so much the followers. It's like the views are really, like, people are really into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm so glad that those people came online and found me. But there's also that pressure to like keep them there.
Yeah.
So,
and how are we doing that? Like, what's kind of like the game plan with that? And how do we get them to get over to Spotify and get over to Apple Music and get over to YouTube?
Yeah. It's like a day by day thing for me of just like trying to post content that people want to see and people want to hear. And the show's only been over for like a week.
Yeah.
And we're going into CMA Fest. So I have some fun stuff to post about that. But yeah, it's just like this crazy thing of like, I don't know. I'm just going to keep like doing my thing and being me. And I don't know.
Yeah. Are there big opportunities that have come from it? Like, 'cause I'm sure, like, you talked about like the private gigs, those are incredible. But then the opportunities to get out to ticketed shows or go to festivals or go to county fairs or different things. Like, has that changed in the last 2 weeks for you, a couple weeks?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely more like show offers for me, and not just like, we need background music for this corporate event, which I'm so thankful for those. I just did one the other night, and it's a wonderful thing to get to do. But it is really crazy now. People are like wanting to book me.
Yeah, like,
that's crazy. But yeah, it's like bigger fairs, festivals, things like that. That just like, hey, I'll be there. I'll bring my little tub of merch with me.
Yeah. That's awesome. Where have been some of your favorite places that you've gotten to go and play?
Well, obviously Europe. That's always a crazy experience. And I always like to tap on to, because the big ticket is getting there. Then once you're in Europe, you can pop around to different countries for like $50. So
that's not bad at all.
No, it is so fun. So I've gotten to go to a lot of different countries in Europe. But talking about those things that pay the bills is like, I'm in a wedding band.
Okay.
I love the wedding band. It's so fun. Everyone at weddings are so happy.
Yeah.
And you're playing the great songs. It's just always a good time. But last year I got to play a wedding in Wyoming.
Ooh.
On top of a mountain. And there's like, you know what they had at that wedding? They had one of those donkeys. A beer donkey.
What's a beer donkey?
It's like this donkey that they put flowers on, and the donkey just looks so cute. And then it has this thing on the side that they put beer in, and the donkey just walks around and you can take a beer.
Wow.
There's no telling what they paid for that donkey. A
beer donkey.
Genius business idea.
Yeah, honestly. Genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
The beer donkey.
Yeah.
What are your favorite, like, what are the go-to songs in the wedding band?
Oh, Don't Stop Believin', Redneck Woman. I'm in a country wedding band, okay. So it's like, it's for the most part, it's country music, like a lot of Shania.
You play Man, I Feel Like a Woman, and the place just explodes.
Oh, yeah, they love it. They love it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, wedding band stuff is, is there something about having the wedding band versus just having the DJ?
I do think that there's something about, like, the vibe.
Yeah. And then you're connecting with the people, and you have, it's different from the Broadway gig in that it's more of a controlled environment. Like, everybody there is having a good time.
Oh, they're having a great time. And these are, like, luxury.
Yeah.
Weddings where it's like, you guys are putting out the dough for this one. Wow. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And the food's got to be really good.
They feed us so well. There's always really good desserts.
What's like your favorite?
I'm there for the food.
What's the favorite dessert?
Oh, love cake. I love cake. I like, and too, a lot of weddings, I'll do those little cheesecakes. Oh my gosh.
The little mini ones?
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I will swipe a few for sure. Yeah, and they don't care.
No.
They're
like, we paid for all this food.
I think that most of the time they expect the band to be at the bar. For me, I don't care about the bar. I'm at the dessert table.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at. What's something that you would tell yourself from, you look back all these years that you've lived here to what your journey's been? Like, there's been, it's a roller coaster, but what's something that you would tell that girl that's coming and staying in that apartment above that garage and is figuring it out at 17 years old to now fast forward, what's in store for her, and what advice would you give her?
I think that the advice that I would give myself looking back is take every single opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's my advice to all the younger musicians. It's like, go do anything that pops up. Like, if you're exhausted, just go do it. If you get a message on Instagram from The Voice or from American Idol or from America's Got Talent, go audition. There were times when I was like, I want to do it the regular way. I don't want to do it the show way. And it's like, if they're reaching out to you, 110%, like, go take every opportunity that is presented. If you have to write at 10 o'clock and then again at 2:30, grab your energy drink, grab your Surfside, and go to the second write of the day. You know, like, take every opportunity. Go to the shows.
Yeah.
Meet the people.
Yeah. Walk through all the doors.
Yeah.
The worst thing, like you said, is the asking yourself the what if years later.
Right.
Like, what if I had done that? Or what if I had? Right. And then you look back, it's way better to say, what if I hadn't versus what if I had?
Exactly. Like, at least just go for it, you know? And that's kind of the mentality that I had with this show is just like, if I don't do this, I'm going to look back and regret it. Because what if I would have found my husband? What if? Never, ever know. In everything in life, not just the music business, like, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. That's just my two cents. Yeah,
no, that's I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir over here. What do we have in store for the rest of this year? What are the big goals that we're looking to accomplish now? It's crazy. We're halfway through. The fact that it's about to be, like, it's June already is freaking ridiculous.
I know. It's crazy. CMA Fest is here.
Yeah. You were here when it was Fanfare still, right? Or was it still CMA Fest?
Yeah.
It was still CMA Fest?
Yeah, I think it was CMA Fest. I'm really not sure.
What have been your favorite CMA Fest moments? Because you've been here for a lot of them now.
I think my favorite ones are when I was younger and we would come here and I would be like, I've never seen this many people in my life. And now, you know, it's doubled and tripled.
Yeah.
But I can remember coming here as a kid and my mom or my aunt would give the band at Tootsie's $20 to let me sing Blue by Leanne Rimes. And I'd be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like seeing it then versus now, it's a whole different ball game. But yeah, I can just remember being a kid and being like, wow, there are so many people here.
Yeah. They all love country music.
And they love country music.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But as far as like this next year, there's some cool things going on. I don't want to jinx it. But just feeling very blessed to keep doing what I love and writing more songs. I really, really want to like hone in on the songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, you know, we got a lot of writers around. So anytime you want
to
come
and
anytime you want to come and play, you know, we do a lot.
I would love that.
And it was great having you talk real quick too. We got to shout out the PR team, because you played on the Perk PR takeover.
Yes, Trevor and Allie, they work so hard. They're awesome. So yeah. Shout out Perk PR.
because it is so important to have that team around you, whether it's your producer back in Atlanta or it's the guys and girls that you write songs with.
Right.
And like where you're a member of their team in their world too, you know?
So
much of this thing I tell people is doing cool stuff with your friends.
Right. It's
doing cool stuff with cool people.
Yeah. Well, and having that team of people behind you can make such a huge difference in everything. I mean, they have gotten me so many things. Like, I wouldn't be here with you if it weren't for them. So, I think as far as like just being able to continue doing that and growing my team of people around me and all at the same time, finding a husband and having some kids and getting the farm outside of town. I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. What exactly are we looking for? So if we were putting an ad on somewhere,
oh my gosh,
what is it saying?
Oh my gosh. I think it's so important to me to have someone who is like a man of faith and is going to be a really, really good dad.
Okay.
And someone who is just like really kind and not a partier. And if they want to go out with me.
There you go.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's just so important. But I am, you know, as far as like the show, I was one of the older girls that were there. And it's like, we're serious. We're not playing around.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it all, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens at the right time. Like I've been blessed. I'm in a great relationship, and it came from not looking for it, and it just kind of happened, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's crazy how God has a different plan.
Yes.
For everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He really does. Well, yeah. I'm so glad you came by.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me.
Great way to kick off the upcoming CMA week of chaos. Godspeed to you being out there.
Like, yes. It's gonna be I will be there right in the middle of it. So it's going to be awesome.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. Well, hopefully we'll see you around. And seriously, anytime you want to play around, or we're happy to have you in the family. Going to send you home with some Surfsides. I got like the green tea packs and stuff you can bring back with you and enjoy those. Yeah. So we'll send you home with an 8-pack. And then we got a bunch of hats over there and some shirts that you can sift through and pick some stuff out.
I see a hat that says, "Do what?"
Yes.
That is a Southern thing that people don't
get. I know.
Like on the show at the end where I was like, bless his heart.
Yeah.
People think that's so funny. I also say do what a lot.
Of course
like,
you do.
Like do what?
Yeah. Of course you do.
People don't get it.
Yeah. That's part of this. I'm me being a New York guy, my business partner, Nick, who founded Raise Rowdy's from Pittsburgh. So the phrase do what is something where we had in our idea folder, like we got to do something with this do what thing. We don't quite understand it, but every guy and girl around us in this town says it. So we put it on a hat, put it upside down, and it's been one of our top sellers. So we'll send you
home
with that.
I say it all the time.
Do what now?
Any guy that I've like dated that is not from the South, they're like, huh?
What do you mean? Hey, what's your name? Do what?
It's there's do what?
It has so many different uses, and it's amazing. Well, y'all be sure to look up our girl Jordan Mallory.
Yes,
give her a follow and hop on the train now. It's a great time to hop on because it's getting ready to leave the damn station. She's got some great songs out.
There's more coming.
There's a lot going on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. This is my first podcast.
Well, I'm happy to be the first one.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Anytime. Yeah. And we appreciate you. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my girl Jordan, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Outside the Round.
Bye, y'all.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.